Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Once again, Lord, we're asking for insight, we're asking for revelation, we're asking for edification by raising God of your Word. With the mind of the Holy Spirit of God, I will grow and be fruitful in that, O Lord, which is coming to us as the seed of the Word. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm still trusting I'll be able to wrap up this, but in case I don't, we'll continue. But again, we're dealing with the voice of life. And it's still coming from, that's a John chapter 10, verse 27. The word of God comes to us in layers. Every now and then it comes to us in layers. You shouldn't be able to. Sometimes you look at the world, you go back to the world, and then other insights are given again. The same scripture. That's the way it works. So it comes to us in layers. John 10, 27. Jesus speaking said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen? And we know, he said, the voice of stranger, they will not follow. I know them, and they know me. I've told us before that the only way to know God is through the voice. You can only know God through the voice. Amen? Very important you understand that. Very, very critical. Praise the Lord. All right. Now let me say this. Jesus, as a matter of fact, we all know it was prophesied in the Old Testament as to who he's going to be. So when making this statement, let's look at what God said concerning him in Deuteronomy 18 and verse number 15, and then we jump to 18 as well. Deuteronomy 18 verse 15. The Lord thy God raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, like unto me. Now Moses is saying, God is going to raise somebody else from among you, and you need to listen to that individual. And the person is going to be just like me. Here he's actually talking about Jesus. I can say certain things about that might look very strange. And how many of you understand that if Jesus had to be like Moses, then if Moses had not died, Jesus would not have died. That looks strange, but that's a fact. And that's why you have to understand that, because, remember, Moses saw so much of the glory of God that it was impossible for death to take him. And God, the Bible tells us, have to kill him by himself and bury him by himself and hid him by himself so that I think the Jews will not go and immortalize him and make him another God. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, he's going to raise for you a prophet like unto me. So Jesus, in quote, was like in this context. Alright, go to verse 18. But he said, the voice of this one you must listen to. Alright, go to verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among thy brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Hallelujah. So you hear Jesus always saying, I'll do nothing except what I see the Father do. This is Jesus Christ. And here God was speaking again to who? To Moses. There's going to be another prophet. I'm going to put my words in his mouth. He will speak of me to the people. By implication, if the people need to hear what I have to say, then they must hear that prophet speak to them. Hallelujah. Everything that he's going to say is going to be coming from me. I want you to understand this. So by implication, if we must hear God, we're going to hear God in who? In Christ. Hallelujah. If you want to hear God, you're going to hear God in Christ. You're going to hear God through his spirit. Get it right. Okay? Go with me to Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Acts 3 verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you your brethren like unto me. He shall hear in all things whatever he shall say unto you. Moses truly said that. Now, here Peter is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 and 18. That's what Peter is quoting on the day of Pentecost. And so he went on to say, verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Get it right. So one of the ways by which you are separated, I don't know how to describe this. But here the scripture is trying to make us understand, if you won't listen to what he says, in simple terms, you miss life. You will have no life. Shall be cut off. Hallelujah. If you don't listen to what Jesus said, you lose life. By implication, you can get life. Why? Because the voice of Jesus is the voice of life. It carries life with it. Anyone who will not listen to what he says shall be destroyed from among the people. So what separates you, what destroys you, is not the devil, in quote, it's your inability to hear God. Because the voice of Jesus is the voice of life. It carries life. Praise the living God. Remember what he said? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? They are life. So if you really want to have life, then you got to listen to the voice of Jesus. You should be able to get to the place of hearing him when he talks. Praise the living God. Verse 24. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as are spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now I want you to gather, because this is very important as well. When we talk about the blessings of God, we first of all need to understand, as much as possible, God can bless us materially. But the very blessings of God or Abraham that God promised you is your forgiveness, or the forgiveness of your sins. That's a primary blessing. When the Bible says, in this shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, it wasn't talking about material blessings. It was talking about, in you through thy seed, all the nations of the earth shall be forgiven their sins. And here Peter is saying, that promise, which is that blessing, has come to you Jews first. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. Are you there with me? So, the very primary blessing that God promised Abraham for the nations of the world is that they are all going to be what? Forgiven their sins. And God have done that. He did that through Jesus Christ. Now get the point right. No nation on the earth is more important to God than every other nation. All nations are equal before God. Amen. The blessing was not for any particular nation, it was for all the nations of the earth. We need to understand that. The fact that every nation on the earth have not turned unto the Lord is not to say God have not pardoned them. They are just living in ignorance of what God have done. Praise the Lord. And that is why you should preach to them by telling them exactly what God has made available to them, because they don't know. So they are walking and living in ignorance of that which God have done. That's why your preaching, your gospel, shouldn't be that of condemnation, but it should be that of reconciliation. As ambassadors, you make known the benefit and the beauty of God's kingdom unto these people who are yet ignorant of what God have done. Praise the living God. Are we here? So this is the point. The voice that we are to hear, like we must continue to hear, is the voice of God through the Son, now through the Holy Spirit, and again through the church. You need to get that, because it's very important. According to Ephesians chapter 1 and the last two verses, it tells, it speaks through the church. The church being his body, The child brain is the center by which he acts and speaks. You've got to understand that. So when the ministry is going on, you need to pay very close attention to what God is saying. And this is very critical. Why? Because the voice that is coming forth is not just another voice. It should be the voice of God to you through that instrument that he has sent to give you that word. Praise the living God. And I try to make you say this morning, 1 Kings chapter 3, if you take time to read, in the case of Solomon, which is very, very important. One of the ways by which you truly pick out the voice of God, 1 Kings chapter 3, we can just look at it. Read all of it down, but then we'll look at verse, let me say what verse I'm going to pick here. Okay, let's take it from verse number 6. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 6. And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, servant David my father, great mercy according as he hath walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God," now there's a prayer, remember, he came in to offer sacrifice unto him in Hebron. "O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Now understand, you're going out and coming in. Most often we use that for prayers, and it's important. But what he's saying here is, I don't know how to go to war. I'm not good at war. That's what it means to go out and to come in. Okay, verse 8. "And the servant is in the midst of the people which thou hast chosen, a great company or people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil or bad. For who is able to judge these so great a people?" And then verse 10 says, "And the spirit pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and have not asked for thyself long life, neither has thou asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thy enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to design judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy works. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was no like unto thee before thee, neither after thee shall anyone arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be not by any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." Hallelujah. Now, get this right. You're reading from verse number 1, you'll be able to see. Solomon went, when he came to the throne, he offered sacrifice. 1,000 rams, whatever the case may be. Right? In the midst of that, you can find the same principle in Genesis chapter 8. After the flood, Noah offered a sacrifice unto God. And the Bible says God smiled a sweet savour. And then the next thing he said, "Well, I will no longer cause the earth anymore for man's sake. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not do what? Shall not cease." Get that? That vow came through the sacrifice that somebody made. Amen? Right. Now here, Solomon made the sacrifice. What's the next thing that happened? He began to hear the voice of God. So I'm trying to make you see how you can hear the voice, how the voice can come to you, dimension by which you can hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Your appreciation, your sacrifices can draw God close, like we said this morning, in relation to Philippians chapter 4. It can bring God closer to you. It can make you come to the place where you have intimate relationship with God. Your sacrifices can do that. So now, Solomon had the voice of God. And God had to make all of those promises to Solomon. Why? Because he offered a burnt offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's move on. So now, last week I dealt with you. I was dealing with the issue of Psalm 23. So we'll go back there right quick. And that's where we're anchoring the whole of this study on. It has to do with my sheep hear my voice. Amen. Now, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's what I said last week. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why will he not want? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Now, every sheep will hear the voice of the shepherd. Amen. Here we are seeing God becoming a man as a shepherd to his people. By implication, God wants to guide you. God wants to protect you. God wants to provide for you. God wants to lead you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we here? This shepherd knows where to feed you. And the cause for his grace and providence leads you to the place of good sustenance. He watches over his own. The shepherd does that. From being destroyed by a revered beast, the shepherd watches over. Now, if you take time to study this passage, you're going to see that David said all of this thing based on his experience as a shepherd boy. What he was doing to the sheep, he could conclude this is what God does to his people. Amen. As a shepherd boy, he could take care of the sheep. He would not allow any animal to come. Remember when he boasted before Goliath? Amen. As a shepherd boy, he could protect the animals. And that is where you have to have your conviction. If the Lord is truly your shepherd, then we come to that conclusion that no beast of any size can do you anything, because the Lord is there to protect you. The Lord is your shepherd. It's not something you recite at the end of service. It's something that you get to know. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd means I am protected from the hands of the enemy, as the shepherd who protects the sheep. Another thing that you have to understand is this. Every sheep that goes astray, the shepherd goes looking for it. How many of you remember that? That's why I said even if he will leave the 99, look for the lost one. By implication, God is always after you. God is watching your back. Even if you are acting foolishly, it doesn't mean he has rejected you. It doesn't mean he has turned his back on you. No matter where you go, if you are truly a sheep, you can't backslide and get lost, because he's always after you. Any sheep that leaves the sheepfold is already stupid, if I may use the word. But that does not cloud the glory and the message of God from following the sheep. He's going to leave the 99 and look for that stupid one that has gone up. And he makes sure it's protected so the animal doesn't destroy it, because it's going to be alone. And one of the things is this. Most time when a sheep goes out that way, it's alone. In other words, it comes to the place where no more protection. I mean, even from amongst other sheep. You know, sometimes when animals want to hunt for sheep, if there are so many, it makes it a little bit difficult for them to hunt. But if you are alone, you become a prey. It's easy for animals to come after a single sheep, that when they go to God, will hear a cloud of it. Is that okay? Right. So God is saying, no matter where you go to, even if you are so vulnerable, that would not stop him from looking after you. He will pursue you and get you back. And so he is saying, no matter how far I've gone from God, God is going to get me back, because the Lord is my shepherd. Are you getting this? Now, the shepherd brings the sheep to shade in time of scorching sun. When the sun is so high, he takes the sheep and brings them to a place where they can be under shade, well protected. And that's something you need to understand. Especially in times of persecution and affliction, he finds a space for us to be fully preserved and protected from the hands of the enemy. From every adverse situation. Now, if the Lord is truly your shepherd, no matter the season you find yourself, God's protection and provision is going to be there. Praise the living God. Because they take the sheep to a very cool place, take them away from the heat of the sun. And so no matter the situation you find yourself, God has a way of preserving your life. God has a way of sustaining you. God has a way of shielding you so that the heat of the day will not overcome you. Hallelujah. So no matter what you are passing through right now, you are not ending that way, people. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to destroy you. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. And every sheep will hear the voice of the shepherd. He takes care that they shall lack no manner of thing that is good. The shepherd makes sure they don't lack anything that is good. He makes provision. Now, if you understand this passage, sometimes you can really be at rest. All you need to do to get all of these things that I'm talking about is just to hear the voice and to follow him. Amen? It's not, you see, the sheep doesn't struggle to get what to eat, what you call the provenders. The shepherd make provision for that. When things are so rough, in the place that is going to put them, there are grass made available for them to eat right there. Praise the living God. If you truly can hear the voice, if you truly can follow him, there's provision for you. There's protection for you. There is clear direction for you. Clear leadership to the place of fruitfulness and abundance. He makes it available. All you need to do is to hear his voice. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. So here David was actually describing what he was doing to the natural sheep as a shepherd boy. The providing, the refreshment, the guidance, the protection, and the abundance of supply of grass. And so, affording a lot of confidence in the shepherd. In other words, you must come to that place of building absolute trust in who? In God. As what? Your shepherd. You must. When it comes to the sheep and the shepherd relationship, the sheep have that singular understanding. When it comes to what to eat, they don't think about it. You know, Jesus asked the same question. Does God not take care of the sparrows? Amen? Does God not clothe the lilies on the field? He made that simple illustration. And that's why the other day I was telling to somebody and I said, Jesus made a statement and said, even the sparrows there, except out of the will of God, no sparrow shall fall to the ground. How many of you have read that? No sparrow can fall to the ground except God permits it. That is to say, no power. Now, think about it. Even you use, whether catapult, whether gun, anything you want to use to get a sparrow, no matter how smart you could be, if God doesn't permit it, you can't get a sparrow. So what am I trying to say? Except, and God is not going to be, no power, no man want to haunt you that can be able to get you. No, that is not possible. Praise the living God. That is just not possible at all. Amen? All right. Go to verse number 2. Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the sea waters. Hallelujah. Thank you. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me before the sea waters. I want you to see something here. Don't forget. My sheep hear my voice. They know me and I know them. And they follow me. Praise God. What is that supposed to mean? Here in verse 2, he's saying the sheep does not look for a place of safety by itself, but the shepherd man takes the sheep to the place of what? of safety and a lie down, like in the pen constructed, where the flocks can stay safely either in the daytime or in the nighttime. Only God has a way of leading you to the place of safety and protection. That's what I'm trying to say. In listening to the voice of God, He leads you anytime. Sometimes you've had people with testimonies. They went to the park, they want to travel. All of a sudden, they choose not to travel anymore. Or maybe they miss the first vehicle.
We know you
and by the time they move forward,
they
find that the vehicle that will have bought it either had accident or have been robbed. Have you had some stories before?
Please visit www.davidogaga.org.
It comes in various ways. But you see, it has to do with hearing the voice. Because if you can perceive what God is saying, either by way of intuition or whatever the case may be, and move out from such situation, God will secure you. It protects you. Praise the living God. All right. So here, we find out the sheep. They bring them to a place of enclosure. Amen. And the grass is provided for them to eat. The place of still water is another aspect of it that's very important for you to understand. Deep waters. Here again, it's referring to a place of absolute peace, which in the true sense, the word of God can give to you. Hallelujah. The place of still waters is a place of comfort. Now, it is like when there's trouble all over the place, it takes you to the place where you are calm, quiet, and settled. In the midst of turbulence on the earth, the Lord has a way of taking His people to a quiet zone, to preserve them from the turbulence that is going on. Praise the Lord. So He takes them to a place of quiet water, which speaks of stillness, joy, peace, tranquility. One of the major reasons why we don't have the kind of peace we are supposed to have is because we are not hearing the voice. We are not hearing the voice the way it's supposed to be. The voice brings peace to you. The voice brings joy to you. The voice brings quietness to you. Amen. That's when by still waters, no troubles. If only you can hear the voice, it gives you peace, it gives you tranquility, that kind of absolute rest at any point in time. Hearing the voice, and it's very crucial. Green pastures, you can talk about tender grasses, I mentioned. It has to do with food. It has to do with refreshing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God has a way of bringing you to that quiet atmosphere. If only you can hear and pay good attention to what He's saying. So no matter what is going on in your life, no matter the trouble that you're passing through, if you can hear the voice, peace will be guaranteed. To your soul, to your mind. He gives you peace. He gives you assurance as to what life really is. You can be settled if only you can hear His voice. It takes the voice to bring you to the place of absolute quietness. When you talk about still waters, understand something about that. You know, yes, clean water has to do with water that is flowing freely. So, this is not talking about like a river, but it's talking about the word that can bring peace to your life. Because if water is gathered in a pool and it's not moving, it breeds mucor. You remember that? Remember that? Good. So God can take you to such a place. So here we are gathered with the word of God that brings peace into your heart. Praise the living God. We're talking about the word that brings joy into your heart. We're talking about listening to the voice. It gives you absolute posture of peace and quietness, no matter the situation. So one of the reasons why we can't find so much peace in our lives because we're not hearing the voice of God. We're not listening even when he's talking. We're not following where he wants us to be. Hallelujah. No clear direction. Why? Because we're not hearing the voice. That's the problem. So the voice takes us to the place of still waters and keep us calm through the voice, giving us absolute assurance as to what even life is supposed to be. Joy will always be your portion when you continue to hear what God has to say. Praise the living God. Amen. Let me take verse 3 and I will close for today. Verse 3 says, he restored my soul. He led me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restored my soul. Yeah, it's actually dealing with. It's like saying, he brings me back to life from destruction. He converts my soul from sinning, that may eternally be destroyed, in quote. Sorry. He brings me back to himself. It's like I'm wandering away, but he came to look for me. He restored my soul. I'm backsliding, but he came searching for me as a good shepherd. He brought me back to life. Some of you, you could have taken a journey in your mind, in your thinking, that could lead to destruction. But if only you can pay close attention to what God is saying in the midst of those situations, God has a way of restoring you back to himself. Praise the living God. Are we still here? So, when you talk about somebody backsliding, it's not just somebody that walks out of church alone. But most part, you backslide in your hearts. Walking out of church is just the ultimate reaction or action of what has taken place where? In your heart. In your thinking, you can backslide on God. In fact, when you start questioning God over certain things, you already backslide in your heart. When you start having doubts on God, you're already backsliding. And so, God has a way of bringing you back to himself through simple words and instructions that he can give to you. Praise the living God. So he restored my soul. Now when he talk about the power of righteousness, this is very, very important. The power of righteousness is not just some ways that you walk through. This is what happens. Pay attention to me. Are you listening? If you look at the sun, the earth revolves around the sun. So, the earth gets its light from the sun. Praise the living God. Are you listening to me? The sun revolves, the earth revolves around the sun. So, depending on the side that the sun is facing, it gets its light. So the path of righteousness you're talking about, the Son of righteousness, which is Christ himself. That means we are the orbit. As it turns, we get light and life from him. That's the path he's saying. So he leads you. It's just like you read, the Bible says, the way of the righteous or the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. That's exactly what he's saying here. So when you come to God and you are hearing the voice, it brings you to the place where you begin to receive life from him on a regular basis. In fact, Philippians, Paul was saying, praying for the people and saying, there have to be the supply of the Spirit of Christ. So when you hear the voice of God and bring to the center of the orbit, even quote, what's the next thing that happened? Life will begin to continuously come unto you. Praise the living God. You'll be receiving light and life on a regular basis. That's what it means. The path of righteousness. And how is that going to happen? hearing the voice. Life, light comes to you. Why? Because you are hearing the voice on a regular basis. Praise the living God. Transformation takes place in your life. Guess what? If you plant a seed and there is no sun, you know what definitely will happen to that seed. Not too much sun, not too much rain. Either of these, the seed could die. So here, God supplies you what you need per time for your life to be sustained. The amount of light you need is supplied. Why? Because you are hearing the voice of God. Praise the living God. Are we here together? So ultimately, life is just one thing. Hearing the voice. In any form, in any manner, if you want to be sustained in this life, if you want to live out the life that God has for you, He needs you to hear His voice. And don't forget where we started from, the book of Deuteronomy. It's any man that will not hear the voice of this prophet that I'm going to raise, he shall be cut off from where? From his people. So the only thing that can make you backslide is not to hear the voice. The only thing that can make you lose faith in God is not to hear the voice. The only thing that can get you to the place of being discouraged in life is not to hear the voice. But if you can hear the voice of God anytime, you will always find stability in your soul. He restored my soul. He leadeth me to the path of what? Of righteousness. For his name's sake. Not for your name's sake. For his name's sake. He needs you to have life because you call upon his name. Because you belong to him. Because you are his saint. So he lets his light to shine in your life. For his name's sake. Not because of what you can do. Not because of how much you think you can do anything. But for his name's sake, he allows life to come to you. Why? Because you call upon his name. Praise the living God. Are we still here? I need to get this fact so that we can continuously come to the place of working in that personal relationship with God. And to build that, you just need to hear the voice on a regular basis. As a son talks to the father. I told you here last week. If there was not the fall, there wouldn't be the fivefold ministry. If there was not the fall, there wouldn't be anything called a prophet. Because everybody was supposed to be able to talk to the Father on a regular basis. And all of those fivefold ministry, they are established to help us come to that place where we can hear God for ourselves. Why? Because it's a father and son relationship. And so when Jesus was to teach us how to pray, what did he tell you to do? So when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He brought you back to your father and son relationship. That is all you need. You go to heaven. No problem about that. But first, have your relationship enacted. Your relationship will not be broken in heaven. Your relationship will be broken right here on the earth. Get it back first before you go to heaven. Amen? Because if you don't put that, I'm sure when you go to heaven, you will still be an orphan. You first have to have your father here before you go to your father's house. Am I making sense to somebody? I don't have a problem. So the ultimate goal that God has in mind is to establish that relationship between himself and yourself through Jesus Christ. And once that relationship is established, how many of you understand the Bible tells us that he gives us the spirit of his son whereby we cry what? Abba Father. Understand that. God have not given us spirit of fear, but they have given us the spirit of his son whereby we cry what? Abba Father. That spirit doesn't call on any other name, but he call on God as what? As his father. Is God your father? Have you come to that place of relationship where you can hear your father talk to you? That is hearing the voice of the Lord. You need to be able to come to that name, come to that relationship, come to that position, that wherever you find yourself, know it for certain. I am a son of God. Nothing changes that. I am a child of God. No man takes that from me. Hallelujah. No matter what anybody's circumstance is saying, no, I am a child of God. God has given me the spirit of his son, whereby I cry what? Abba Father. And not just that, he is my shepherd. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, I know he will provide. I know he will protect me. I know he will lead me. I know he will cover me from the heat of the sun. No matter what happened, the Lord is my shepherd. No matter what people are saying, no, I won't join them to say that. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Just keep that at the back of your mind. Anytime, anywhere. When things are going rough, the Lord is my shepherd. Think about that. When storm came in, when Paul and the rest of the people, as it were supposed to capsize, the Bible said, Paul said, an angel of the Lord, who I am, whom I serve, came and spoke to me this night, that Saul, none man in this boat shall do what? Shall perish. The Lord is my shepherd. Anytime, anywhere. No matter how rough situation is, take your mind back to your shepherd. The sheep doesn't really bother when the sun is on. The shepherd knows when to get them out. When the rain is coming, the shepherd knows when to get them out. When the weather is cold, the shepherd knows when to pull them in the pen to keep them from the cold, to keep them from the wind. He knows when to do that. You can protect yourself in this world. You can save yourself in this world. Recognize one thing, the Lord is your shepherd. And it will come true for you anytime, anywhere, no matter what's going on. So what am I saying? Provision is guaranteed for you. Protection is guaranteed for you. Defense is guaranteed for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. No matter what, keep your eyes on the shepherd. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, you're being a Christian because he called you to himself. He started your faith for you, and he's going to finish it for you. There is nothing you can do about that. No devil can do anything. That's why he said it in that John 10. Let's read that again and close for today. John chapter 10 again, verse 27 and 28. Hallelujah. Okay. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. 28. And I give unto them what kind of life? What kind of life? And they shall never do what? Perish. Neither shall any man do what? Pluck them out of my hand. No man. And so when the lion came, when the deer came, what did David do? He fought with them. They wanted to come and pluck the sheep out of the hands of David. David said, I can't let you let that. You can't have any of the sheep as long as I'm the shepherd there. He fought with the deer, he fought with the lion. God is saying the same thing, and that is why Psalm 23 is taken from exactly what we're reading here. And Jesus is saying, as far as I'm concerned, there is no power that can pluck you out of my hand. As long as you remain a shepherd, my sheep, no power. As long as you remain my sheep, no devil. As long as you remain my sheep, no ancestral spirit, no power can pluck you out of my hand. I am the good shepherd. I'm not just a shepherd. I am the good one. Hallelujah. For the Lord is what? My shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.